Good evening. You are listening to Pama Talk Radio. This is Faith Ignited on Pama Talk Radio. And me, I'm your host, Nancy Burns. If it's your first time here, guys, it's nice to finally meet you. And if you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back. I love you. I love you all so much for supporting the show. I know some of you who don't miss an episode. My sweet cousin in Canada, she will not miss an episode. She loves Faith Ignited, and she will tell the world how much she loves the show. And I hope you guys are just as excited to hear the stories that I share here. As you know, or some of you may not know if this is your first time, that I read the stories and live with you guys, and we pause and have reaction to certain parts of the story, and we can talk about it, and you know, we can have a conversation about the story. How are you guys doing? How is your week been? How has it been? Tell me everything. I want to know everything about your week. I want to know if you guys got everything that you needed checked off your list of things to do this week. And if some of those things didn't make it to the list, give yourself grace. Let God allow you to give yourself grace. Pat yourself on the back and say you did the best you could today. For what it's worth. You know, not for nothing, but just saying, for what it's worth. If you're new here to Faith Ignited, I like to narrate real life, real miracles, true stories that sometimes are so unbelievable that they leave me speechless, because I feel like I can't imagine some of the things. I mean, I can. I know God can do all things, but what I'm saying is, and also, if anyone has any question about this podcast, like if they feel like, oh, is this like a religious podcast? My answer to that is absolutely not. This is a non-denominational podcast. Non-denominational. We are all welcome here in my little studio with my microphone and my story, and you guys behind the other side of this listening and enjoying the content that I'm putting out. You know, I really appreciate all the love that you guys give me, and not just in America. I get so much love from people all over the place. People all over the place, and I am honored that they would want to even spend an hour getting to know a little bit about me, getting to know a little bit about crazy real life miracles that happen. I want to share this knowledge with all of you. I feel like I need to. I feel like it's my purpose. And so, no, this isn't a religious podcast. This is a podcast where I'm not afraid to talk about God. I'm not afraid to tell God and you and whoever else wants to listen how much I love God. He'll always be the center of everything that I do. He will be the center of everything that I do, because I know that without His will, what I want to have happen and what God wants to have happen, sometimes, listen, we're on two different pages, and that's okay. It's learning to navigate through that, where a person grows and evolves and changes into someone who communicates beautifully and I just love you guys. I love people. I love you guys so much. So many of you faithful, faith-ignited listeners out there that I know you're out there, because you message me sometimes live during the show. You're live messaging me, and it just warms my heart. My cousin in Canada messaged me, "Hi, Steph. Hi, Carlos." They messaged me, and she messaged me, and she was saying, telling me about my podcast and the things that she enjoyed and the parts of the story that she enjoyed, and how she learned so much from that episode, or how she soaked in what the episode was about and applied it somehow to her life. And it's just really beautiful when people care about your well-being, and when people are happy for you, genuinely happy for you. We have to stop being people pleasers. We have to stop being people pleasers and being, I mean, there's two different kinds of people in the way I see it. There's waiters, and then there's servers. Two very different things. There's a waiter, but that's not equivalent to a server. So I'm a server. If I can serve my community, if I can serve one person, if I can serve anybody, anything, it is my honor and my privilege to do so. So I'm the one who is thanking all of you for your support, your love, and I just know that there are so many miracles that I am going to read on this podcast, and we're going to hopefully share love and light with people and breathe hope into them, breathe comfort and compassion. I feel like the world right now is lacking compassion. We have to somehow manage to, and I'm included in this, excuse me, I'm included in this. We have to somehow manage to have compassion for people. Put yourselves in their shoes. And then ask yourself, what would you do? What would you do in that case? How would you feel? How would it affect you? Those are all very important questions. And just because I'm on the topic, I want all of you to take care of yourselves, your mental self. Take care of who you are and be proud living in your purpose. And be proud living in God's light. Because if it weren't for God, we wouldn't have the provisions that we have. I don't believe in God because I have to. I believe in God because I want to. I believe in God because I've seen what He's done in my life. I believe in God because I've seen what He's done in my family's lives. I believe in God because He believes also. He believes in me, therefore I believe always in Him and what He feels is necessary for my growth as a human being, as someone who deals with people on an everyday basis. It's not easy. It's not easy to deal with people every day. But if you do, if that's your job, God bless you. God bless you. You gotta be a strong person, right? But we have a beautiful story tonight, guys, before I get too far into the introduction. We have a beautiful, beautiful story tonight. I just read the first few sentences and I said, oh, I have to read whatever this is. I have to read this because it comes from a new book that I got that is called exactly what we're talking about, Real Life, Real Miracles. And it is a book by James L. Garlow and Keith Wall. So what they've done here is taken the real life credible stories of like miraculous experiences gathered by these authors, right? And they reveal to us in this book and in these stories that God is still very present in the world. And it's almost like each story is one to encourage and inspire, right? To offer hope and a sense of wonder. Absolutely. Whether you've experienced God's miracles or if you aren't sure if you believe in them, explore fascinating true stories like these and many more. You'll be in awe of God's power as you get a glimpse of how He personally cares for each of His children, including you, my friends. Including you, my friends. Before we dive into our story tonight, I want to take us to the ocean. I want to take our minds to the ocean right now. hope you guys are sitting comfortably, relaxing. Do not drive or operate any motor vehicles while listening to Faith Ignited. I'm just putting that out there. Not while you're driving, but you can switch to another one of our channels for some amazing music. Anyway, let's go through and think about our week. It's Friday, guys. Let's take a deep breath in and inhale all of the stresses of the week. Inhale and hold that in your chest. Hold it because you need to exhale everything that caused you grief this week. Let it all out. Because it's Friday. And that's a day to celebrate you. Every Friday night on Faith Ignited, it's your private party where I like to celebrate you guys. So I'm taking you to the ocean. Find a comfortable position. I don't care. How you're sitting or laying, but I know that I can feel the energy vibration from this, just in general, the feeling of this podcast. And I like to think that some people look forward to hearing it, hearing a story that they can possibly relate to, right? A story that is nothing less than a miracle. It is a miracle story. Real life, real miracles. A book by James and Keith. So this first story that I'm going to read is the very first story in our book here. I'm reading from a book, folks, not from a computer screen or from a telephone. I'm reading out of a book, and you can hear because it's the paper. You hear that? That's what paper is, folks, the youngins. The youngins that are all going to turn into AIs, and we're going to have a big problem. My husband always says that movie, what movie is it? Anyway, he'll know what it is, and he'll be telling me right now. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. All right, guys, let's drop in. This story is called You're In for the Ride of Your Life. On United Flight 811, an extraordinary message saved Sherry Peterson in more ways than one. On February 23rd, Sherry Peterson was amongst the last to board United Flight 811 from Honolulu to Sydney. It was nearly 1 a.m. when she walked the gangway to the aging Boeing 747. For the final leg of a journey that began many hours earlier in Denver, only 5,000 miles to go, she thought wearily. There was at least one thing to be thankful for, one perk of being a travel agent and tour guide. Her new last-minute seat assignment was an upgrade to business class. Whoa. Get it, girl. Inside, she handed the flight attendant her boarding pass. 9F, it stated. And it was handwritten at the top. And the woman pointed the way to my seat. Just a few more steps to a good night's sleep. The pills in her bag would guarantee it. But 9F was already occupied. But 9F was already occupied. I showed the man sitting there my boarding pass to try and figure out which of us was in the wrong place, she recalled. But he made it absolutely clear that he had no intention of moving. The flight attendant could see what was happening and told me to sit anywhere because it was past time for departure. Seat 13F was empty. Sherry took it and settled in as the plane taxied to the runway. She closed her eyes and sighed heavily, looking forward to the oblivion of sleep. The truth was there was more on her mind than the stress of a long travel day or the demanding schedule awaiting her in Australia, where she was expected to babysit, quote-unquote, 300 business executives in a convention. Her personal life was a mess, and the reason was no mystery. She was married to a psychologically, emotionally abusive man. Psychologically and emotionally abusive man who took every opportunity to tell her she was worthless, to tell her that she was an embarrassment. The relationship grew more intolerable by the day, but she could not see a way out. To be honest, I didn't think I deserved to get away from him, she said. I secretly believed he was right about me. So I started using pills and booze like candy to make it all just go away. Even if it was just for a little while. I'm gonna pause right there and ask you guys that question, right? Which is, so I secretly believed he was right about me, so I started using pills. So the self-medicating, getting rid of the pain, if it was just for a while. How many of us have been there? Raise your hand. I have. Raising my hand. It's my left hand where my bracelets are, so you know I'm raising my hand because my bracelets are making noise. We've all been there. where we have felt worthless. And the you know, sad part of this story is that in this part of the story, I believe that she's in a position where a lot of us have been in, where we just tell ourselves it's just for a little while. Just for a little while, if I could just get it off my mind and not think about it for a little while. Believe it or not, people with mental health issues, myself included, I have anxiety really, really bad. I'm a very anxious person. Always have been. Except when we were kids, they didn't know what it was called, but it was definitely anxiety. Definitely anxiety. And as I grew older, I started to self-medicate myself as well. Not with pills, but with booze. And the sad part is that the people that were in your life before you got sober, they'll only remember the drunk version of you. They will not remember the kind person. They will not remember. Okay, back to the story. To be honest, I just wanted it to go away for a while, as I said, so she fastened, she fastened her seatbelt and reached for the sleeping pills to follow her overnight flight ritual. However, as she shook the tablets into her palm, an insistent thought crossed her mind. Don't do that. You might need your wits about you in case of emergency. Don't do it. I don't know, Sherry stopped. It wasn't the sort of thing that she ever told herself. What emergency, she thought. Flying is perfectly safe these days. The aircrafts are carefully maintained. And the crews, well, they're well trained. Oh my God, Sherry, she thought to herself. There's no reason to lose sleep about worrying about something that will probably never happen. Even so, uncharacteristically, she put the pills away. People with substance abuse problems are parasuicidal, she noted. It's a fancy way of saying we're trying to kill ourselves, just very discreetly. So I should have been thinking, I don't care if we crash and I get dragged. Bring it on. But for some reason, I chose to follow that nudging to stay alert during the flight. You guys have a lot of, I have a pause on the story. I have a lot of moments that are like that, right? Where our subconscious tells us something. Our subconscious tells us something, and we sometimes listen, we sometimes don't. It's just a choice that we make, but the way I see it is if it's meant to happen like that, then it's meant to, that's what, I mean, does that make sense, you guys? That's what I believe in. Like, if it's, like, if the plane that you're in, out of all the planes and all the days of the week and all the times the planes go back and forth, if it's going to be your plane that something happens to, God forbid, I hate that, God forbid, you know what I mean? God forbid everybody's safe on these aircrafts. Yeah. Okay, now I'm curious to see, by listening to that nudge to stay alert, how that plays out for Sherry. So let's continue on with the story. The captain announced clearance for takeoff and advised the passengers should expect the fasten seatbelt sign to stay on a bit longer than usual while he navigated around an offshore thunderstorm during the ascent. Otherwise, he predicted they should enjoy smooth, uneventful flight. Shortly after departure, Sherry felt agitated by her encounter with the man in 9F. She decided to take her mind off of that and everything else by reading herself to sleep. She reclined her seat back, loosened the seatbelt, and she had just opened her book when someone spoke directly in her ear, as if leaning down behind her right shoulder. "Tighten your seatbelt," said a young man's voice. He was calm but firm. "You're in for the ride of your life," he said. I had the impression the voice belonged to a young male flight attendant, she said. But I knew very well that was not the sort of thing that they would say. So when I put my book down and turned to ask what the heck he was talking about, no one was there. I looked into the galley behind my seat, and the only person I saw was the female attendant who told me to sit wherever I could. Ooh, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I knew something way out of the ordinary had just happened, and that I should listen. Interesting. Turn the page. A very interesting story so far. I'm enjoying it. Although I'm not enjoying the plane part of it, I must get that out of the way, because I'm going to be getting on a plane soon, and I don't want to think about that at all. She straightened her chair. I'm having a cashew, by the way, guys. Enjoy some snacks with me. Go get a snack. Pause it. The great thing with Poma app is you can pause your podcast or your music. Go get yourself a snack and come right back. So, that's what we did. So, basically, the only person that she recognized was the lady who had said, go find you, go take any seat available, right? She straightened her chair, tightened the belt, and tucked her thumbs under the strap. Her heart was pounding. She glanced across the aisle on her right and saw the moon, big and beautiful, framed in the window. The plane climbed smoothly. The ride of her life seemed unlikely, but she'd wait and see. She didn't have to wait long. No more than a minute later, an explosion rocked the aircraft. I heard a loud sound, a kind of grind and bump, and then pow! The whole side of the plane ahead of me on my right side had just disappeared in the blink of an eye. I closed my eyes and thought, this cannot be happening to me. This cannot be happening. Please. When I opened them again, I could see the engines on fire outside. A fierce wind slammed into Sherry like an Arctic gale, whipping her hair and stinging her eyes. Darkness filled the cabin as the lights went out, but she could not see flying debris as dislodged ceiling tiles, carry-on luggage, books, cups, and more were sucked through the 20-foot-wide hole in the fuselage. Exposed wires sparked overhead, even over the thunderstorm's roaring of the wind of the engines, which were only a few feet away. Sherry heard shrieks of terror all around her. I looked down through where part of the floor used to be, and I saw moonlit clouds miles below. It actually was a beautiful sight. But immediately I thought, this is not going to end well at all. Investigators later learned that the latch on the forward cargo door had failed, leading to rapid, uncontrolled decompression and to the structural failure of the fuselage. Along each side of the cabin, there were two seats in each row, one on the aisle and one by the window. The eight people seated there in rows 9 through 12 were hurtled out of the aircraft in an instant. Only one passenger across the aisle in the plane's middle section, who was also ejected. He had been in seat 9F. Sherry looked left and saw a man and a woman with their young daughter, their clothes whipping in the wind. They were terrified, clinging on to one another, but unharmed. To the right, across the aisle in row 13, a couple was bloodied from flying debris, but still, they were still there and buckled in. However, their seats canted forward at an alarming angle, and the floor was gone beneath their feet. Seeing their panicked faces, Sherry grabbed the man's arm to steady him against falling further forward. Behind him, she was horrified to see the flight attendant who she'd been in the galley with when the explosion happened. She was conscious, but her body was contorted, wedged into a tiny space beneath the tipping seats. If they came loose, nothing would stop her from falling out into the night. I reached out and held her arm just to let her know she wasn't alone. Sherry remembered that moment, and I started praying, desperately crying out for help. Then in my mind, I saw a giant hand swoop down out of the sky underneath the plane, and I knew we were going to be okay. My mind was screaming, "That is impossible." I'd flown enough to know that we've had little chance of a safe landing, but I held to that image. In the cockpit, Captain David Cronin had thrown out the book on how to respond, because there was no book for this crisis. His instincts took over, the fruit of many years' experience as a military fighter pilot and glider pilot. He immediately compensated manually for the lost starboard engines. He began dumping fuel to minimize the risk of fire should they manage to return to Oahu for emergency landing. Unable to contact the flight attendants, he sent his engineer below to assess the situation. The man soon returned. Was visibly shaken by the extent of the damage. Given the plane's weakened structure, the crew decided to maintain airspeed of 250 knots, barely above the 240 knot stall speed. Cronin, the pilot, managed to turn the plane around and set a course for the airport. He held that craft higher than the gradual glide normally used on the approach, knowing he'd never regain any lost altitude. He'd have to drop swiftly, as if landing on the deck of an aircraft carrier. Sherry watched through the floor as she was turned around, and she saw the approaching lights of Honolulu. She was amazed that the battered 747 hadn't already broken into a million pieces. She was also astonished at how calm she was. "I felt this amazing serenity," she said. "I was so detached. I really was. I thought, so this is how I'm going to die." It's amazing what goes through your head when that time comes. Things you've done in your life do flash in front of you, along with things that you would like to have done. But it wasn't that time yet. Against all odds, Captain Cronin nursed the plane back, touching down perfectly with the improbable airspeed of less than 200 knots. The landing gear held, the brakes stopped them before the runway's end. Despite the lost engines, just 14 minutes after the explosion, the crew executed a textbook evacuation of all the remaining passengers in less than 90 seconds. In subsequent computer simulations, which sought out to account for every conceivable variable, investigators never were able to successfully land a 747 with that kind of damage that Flight 811 had suffered. I know what this is like when this next paragraph is. A soft Hawaiian rain began to fall on the tarmac as the stunned and shaken travelers waited for transport to the terminal. Sherry looked at the plane. She looked at the wound in its side that had meant swift tragedy for a few, but that should have been fatal for every soul aboard. She trembled as she considered her likely fate in seat 9F. If that had been empty after all, she marveled that she'd chosen to listen to the unfamiliar inner urging. In her mind, still saw the divine hand lifting them to safety and she herself saw everything in a new light. Not worthless after all, but ready to get her life back on track. That was the first step on her road to freedom and recovery. Most of all, she still heard the voice in her ear, "Tighten your seatbelt, you're in for the ride of your life." I'm very humbled when I think about that night. I've asked myself many times why I was allowed to survive, why it wasn't me in 9F. I don't have the answers to that. I grew up in a Methodist church and always fascinated with God. But I did wonder, why don't the stories we read about in the Bible ever seem to happen today? And it kind of bothered me. But now that I know what I know, now that I saw what I saw, I now know that miracles do happen. They happen today just as they have throughout history, and sometimes just as dramatically as in the Bible stories. I've learned to be much more real in my approach to life, relationship, and faith, because you never know when you wake up in the morning where you might end up. You've got to be fearless and not so concerned with what other people might think of you. Be a warrior for yourself. Be a warrior for your own soul. And know that you are not alone. God intervenes in our lives. I am living proof of that. Wow, Sherry, what a beautiful, beautiful story that was. Wow, but could you imagine? It was a beautiful story of how she was saved, but it wasn't so beautiful for some people. And that's why I say, like, never leave things unsaid. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Like, live in the moment. Live happy, live peaceful. Live in a calm and a sense of protection. Live in a sense of knowing that God will intervene at any time, and whatever it is that you're going through, He could change that around at any given moment. Never lose hope. Always stay in faith, and always keep your faith ignited. Oh, you like how I did that, guys? It's coming up to my hour. Oh my God, it went by fast, and I'm gonna have to go to the optometrist because I had trouble reading from this book, trying to see the letters. Like, I don't know if it's because I didn't sleep well or it's my eyes, but Lord, I couldn't see. Sometimes if I got jumbled up, I apologize, but it was a great story for me. And imagine what that lady has to deal with, her anxiety and the thought of what she saw. But then to know that she was part of the saved part. If she would have taken her seat in 9F. So you never know. And with that, my beautiful friends, my beautiful family here at Palma Talk, I'm your host, Nancy. You can find me on Faith Ignited Podcast on Instagram, Nancy Burns on Facebook, and you can always reach me here on the PAMA page. And all of our social medias, you can get in contact with anyone, you can chat with somebody. We have all the things you guys need. If you have any questions or concerns, if you would like to become a sponsor, and I think we're going to do some fun stuff for some business owners coming up here in the future. So I can't wait to tell you guys about it. But if you want to help out with PAMA Media, that's always appreciated. Just your support is so much for us. We value each and every one of you that has become part of our PAMA Media family. We thank you for liking our page. We thank you for watching our YouTube videos. We thank you for the TikTok and all the socials. We thank you. I hope you guys have a beautiful, beautiful restful, peaceful weekend. It's supposed to be really nice this weekend. So I'm looking forward to getting outside, getting some vitamin D, naturally vitamin D, and if you guys follow me on Facebook, I love you. Thank you for following me. If you don't follow me, please follow me. I would like to embrace every single person who's ever felt alone to feel like they have a family here with us. Have a blessed weekend, you guys. God bless. Good night. Beijing. Bye-bye.